experimental and noise.
Thunderstorms, see the lightning flashing, thunderstorms.
Thank you for stopping that. If you actually want to learn more about weather, join the UBC Storm Club. For more information, email us at stormubc@gmail.com. Stop playing those cheesy songs and tune into News 101 Mondays and Fridays for your CITR weather forecast.
Hey there.
Barev.
We're the Armenian Students Association, and we're here to bring together everyone,
Armenians and non-Armenians,
who are interested in learning about the Armenian culture here at UBC.
Find us on Facebook at ASAUBC to stay up to date. We look forward to seeing you at our future events.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Badanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives.
We're the Daves. I'm David Badanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave. You're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
It is Friday, the 30th of October, 2015. And this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We are broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming live on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the palatial student nest on the Musqueam territory of Ulksin, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, it's Halloween this weekend. We'll give you a few ideas of what to do and where to go. I Am the Bastard Daughter of Engelbert Humperdinck is a play that was a big hit in the Vancouver Fringe 2 years ago, and it's a back for a limited run at the Shadbolt. We'll meet the woman behind this one-woman show, Catherine Kirkpatrick. Kirkpatrick. I'm having a sloppy day. Leave me alone. Plus, our usual rundown of what to do and where to go and what to see this weekend. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local independent theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial.
For the Hollywood Palace, the exciting new international recording star and the most unforgettable name in the world, Engelbert Humperdinck.
Tell me, when will you be mine? Tell me, quando. Can share a love divine. Please don't make me wait again. When will you say yes to me? Tell me, quando, quando, quando. You mean happiness to me. We'll be right back.
I can wait a moment. Tell me quando, quando, quando. Say it's me that you adore.
So, yeah, that's Engelbert Humperdinck, and this is the bastard daughter of Engelbert Humperdinck.
Woohoo! There are two characters in my show that have a duet to that song.
Oh, perfect.
So you just made me so happy. That was so great, and I never heard that version, so that was fantastic.
That was a live TV appearance. There was a variety show in the 60s called The Hollywood Palace.
Okay.
And every week they had a different celebrity host.
Okay.
And it was either a singer or a comedian or an actor or somebody. And so this was something I found on YouTube.
And I don't even know that one.
And you gotta see it, because he steps out, and this was, like, as he said, you know, the fastest rising new star or whatever. This is when
with
he first started.
With the unforgettable name.
Yeah. This is when he first started in the early 60s, and he's in this beautiful James Bond tuxedo, and he's surrounded by dancers in gold lamé.
Oh, fantastic.
All right, let's get the listeners in on this. We're talking to Catherine Kirkpatrick.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, God. Thanks for having us.
And you brought Michelle, your director, in.
Hi.
And co-writer, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Without her, there would not be a show. There would be me telling stories over drinks at a party.
Mm. Well,
which
that's
I
always,
did a lot
that's
until
always
we
good.
Got the show up.
Yeah. And somebody said, you should put that in a show.
Oh, many times. And then I went, yeah, great idea. Another drink. And then, then finally I did a workshop. Do you know Martha Ross? Have you ever heard her?
I've heard of her.
Yeah, she was at Theater Columbus for a while. Now she's teaching at universities all over the place. Anyway, she did a workshop called What's the Big Idea? And that's basically stories you tell at a party.
Yeah.
And everybody goes, hey, do that show. So what happens was, we all got together for a week workshop, and I finally started telling the story, getting the ladies out of my body and into the room.
All right. So what is the
story? Oh, my mother.
What
oh, sorry.
The story you're telling?
Okay, my mother was the secretary of the Engelbert Humperdinck Fan Club Montreal chapter for years and years and years. So as little kids, myself and my little sister were mascots at the meetings, basically. All the meetings were held at our house. And these would be singing and drinking and crying, and the ladies putting on his cologne. They bought a bottle and they'd spray it around the room. And then they'd put the records on and they'd cry and sing. And then they would organize concerts when he comes into town. So they would do his dressing room. They would buy flowers for it. They clean it. They welcome him into town.
There's photographic evidence of these kinds of things.
There is photographic evidence. Yeah. It's true. And there's always... something that he used to do at the concert was this big kiss that he would give someone on stage. He'd bring someone up on stage, and it's quite gross, actually. It's quite gross. We watched a YouTube on it, which and at the time he was singing You Make My Pants Want to Get Up and Dance. So we don't use that song, but it's pretty funny. Both Michelle and I just sat there looking at it with our faces hanging down. Could not believe what we were watching. And at that point, he had two women, because he was younger.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then it went to one woman sitting on stage. Then it went to one woman sitting on a chair. Because he could no longer get down. And I saw his concert last year.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic. None of that.
No.
So he's now moved into, well, he's got to be around my mom's age, so he's got to be 80.
Oh, yeah.
80 now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, that song we played was from 50 years ago.
Yeah. So. Yeah. There you go. There you
so
go.
So the story is sort of, it uses Catherine's family, and so all these characters in it are real, or they're inspired from real people.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of about Catherine's childhood, growing up in this crazy Engelbert Humperdinck obsessed family, and she plays like 8 different characters.
Yeah.
She plays herself as a 10-year-old, her mom,
sister,
the ladies from the club, and because it's set in Montreal, there's some French, so she talks a lot in franglais, which is really fun.
Yeah. Does the man himself appear?
He does not. No. No, I don't play the man himself. Although I do go to his concert.
Yeah.
Oh. So we have an idea of that. Yeah. And we definitely, you know, the play ends with the sing-along. What could be bad about that, eh?
Of course.
We all sing
yeah.
to an Eng record. Fantastic. Eng being the nickname for Engelbert Humperdinck.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. It was on the pin that they all wore
to the
meetings.
Thanks for letting us know about that.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
So this is going on at the Shadbolt.
It is.
Yeah. Are you in the big theater or the studio? Or
I believe we're in the studio.
We're in the studio, yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice space there.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Great. We were picked up from The Fringe, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Corey,
so you did
Philly,
The Fringe 2 years ago.
2 years ago, that's yeah. right. That was a whole scary event when we did that. We started with a 15-minute piece at BC Buds, which is, the Fire Hall hosts, where you can try out 15 minutes of something.
Yeah.
So we, you know, didn't have a whole play, but we kind of went, well, we got 15 minutes. So I applied at Michelle dared me basically to apply. So I did, and I didn't think we'd get in because I'm not a writer. She is. So I kind of went, oh, sure, okay, I'll apply. I wrote the application in my chicken scratch. I'm sure it looked like I wrote it in crayon. Here you go. And then we got in, shockingly. And I went, Michelle, we got in. We have to write 15
minutes. I knew she'd get in.
It was from the heart.
Yeah, well, it was from the heart with red crayon. Yes, it was. But anyway, so we got in, and then we wrote 15 minutes, and that became great. We had lots of people coming to our 15 minutes. And the artistic director there, Donna Spencer, had not seen it but heard about it.
Yeah.
And kind of went, hey, you want to do The Fringe? We went, we were actually too late for application for The Fringe. But she said, well, I've got a spot here. So if you want to do it, we both looked at each other and, you know, open doors, walk through open doors.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Uh-oh. Again, me going, and Michelle, luckily, a lot stronger than me. And I went, yeah, let's walk through that door. And then we had to write a show.
Oh, yeah.
So.
That's right. Once you walk in the door, then you have
like,
to do something.
Uh-oh, there's some work to be done.
Yeah.
Which we got together and pounded out a show in 3 weeks.
About 3 weeks.
I mean, luckily I had done a workshop, so I had some characters.
Yeah.
Like, Michelle wasn't working with nothing, thank God. We had characters going on, and I would play the characters in the room while we're trying to write it. I'd just go on, I think that maybe Pierrette should say a few things here. And I'd become Pierrette and try and figure
Pierrette's
out what
she'd
say.
Pierrette's one of the ladies of the club.
Yeah.
One of the ladies in the fan club. Yeah. So thank you for clearing that up. or my mother, who smoked like a chimney, so I would put a cigarette in my mouth and walk around the room.
Yeah.
You know. Beating my head against the wall trying to figure out what we would do. But we figured it out. And then we put the show up. We had rehearsed for 3 weeks. After we wrote it in 3 weeks, rehearsed for 3 weeks, and really put it up, seat of our pants.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful to the Fire Hall for letting us do that. Otherwise, I don't know how long it would be. I think I'd still be telling stories and drinking.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in a smaller venue.
Yes. Yeah.
So what is the story you're telling? Like it's you've got characters and you've got moments and anecdotes and stuff. But
so
what's the overlying arc of the play? What's the experience going to be?
Michelle will do this more succinctly, but I'll do my version, which is the whole idea for me telling this story over and over again at parties was to honor my mother and the ladies of the fan club. This is just something I wanted to do. But I couldn't figure it out. I could not break the mold of why am I telling this story? Yeah, okay, it's funny.
Yeah.
And then Michelle enters Michelle.
So, well, Catherine already had the title. So she already had, all these characters and she had the title, I Am the Bastard Daughter of Engelbert Humperdinck. So we actually just kind of used that. So, you know, Catherine's family, it wasn't always easy, right? They had some tough times with their family. So, and Catherine, as her 10-year-old self, is the protagonist. And so she, that character, becomes, because of her mother, she becomes kind of obsessed with Engelbert Humperdinck. Mm-hmm. And she begins to believe that he is actually her dad. And that her dad, who's often away and often difficult to be around when he is around, she thinks, well, he would be a better dad. So she sort of sets out on this idea, okay, I'm going to get Eng, yeah. And he's going to be my dad. And if he's my dad, then everything's going to be better. So that's kind of the core story. Yeah. And it's told sort of through Kathy's eyes. And there's a lot of Kathy's imagination comes in terms of what she sees in the house and who she sees Engelbert to be and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of a story. It's kind of a coming of age story in a sense. Kathy sort of grows up. And it's also a story, I think, a story about friendship, that like there are these difficulties that happen. You know, Winnie, the mom, is kind of like the second protagonist. But the ladies of the club stick with her. And even though it's crazy and it's kooky, you know, they do really help her survive these crazy.
And they helped each other. They were a group of women that actually really helped each other through some hard times in the 70s in Montreal.
Yeah.
You know.
So it's about growing up, and it's also about friendship. Mm-hmm. And that... these women really come together, and they help, I think, especially Winnie in the course of the play. They help Winnie kind of pick up the pieces and move on through their friendship and through their love of Engelbert. But it's kind of all intertwined that way.
As a writing process, Michelle had to listen to many, many family stories, which were, you know, lovely, and then some horrific ones that I thought, oh, this has to be in the play because it's horrific and we have to show this, right? And then we realized it's just too brutal. There's no need to be so brutal. Everybody has lives that are, you know, varying degrees of hard and so on. And then what happens is the audience will pick up what they're going to pick up. You know, there's some suggestions. And then from there, we go on to Kathy trying to save her family.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's about, too, I think the kids in the play get left alone a lot. And I think that's part of why Kathy's imagination is so active. So it's about the kids trying to survive this too. And they Kathy tries to survive by building up this world.
Yeah.
So the play sort of starts with Kathy and Catherine, and then we have the first meeting, which is where Winnie finds out that she's going to get the kiss. So
she's been chosen this year for the kiss, which actually happened. My mother went up on stage for one of these kisses when it was a one woman kiss as opposed to the two women.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it was a shocking time. And of course, worlds collide. Right. She's actually going to get what she wants there. And she's so, so happy. She had a dress made. She had dresses made for us. And, oh, my Lord. It was a huge, huge event.
Okay. So the play is... The actual course of the story is fictional, but a lot of the major events in the play are real. So, you know, there was the concert. They did have the matching dresses. There was the meetings. You know, there were all these different things that they mentioned. So that's kind of how we've strung it together.
Right.
Yeah.
And with a sing-along.
And with a sing-along at the end.
All right.
Which is so much fun.
That does sound like fun. Yeah. So I am the bastard daughter of Engelbert Humperdinck, and it's at the Shadbolt Studio Theater in Burnaby at Deer Lake, and it starts on Wednesday.
That's correct.
Yeah.
It goes until
Sunday.
Until Sunday.
It's a 4-day run with six shows in it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You've got two matinees on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct.
And tickets are pretty reasonable.
Yep.
There's something for everyone.
Yeah.
No, there's a two for one, and there's a couple of $15 shows. Yeah. It's fantastic.
All right.
The Shadbolt makes things pretty easy, you know.
They do.
And they really support, like, this is part of the independent series. They support all kinds of folks just doing their shows, like trying to get stuff out. It's fantastic.
All right. So to get tickets, you go to Shadbolt.com.
Yeah.
Shadboltcenter.com. Yeah. Pardon me. Or also you guys working Spark Theater.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
That was exciting. Yeah. Have a great week next week.
Thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
Now, as I have been mentioning in the past, we've got this big Remembrance Day special coming up on November 11th, and it's called At Home and Overseas, and it's based on a book called Six War Years by Barry Broadfoot, and he was a journalist who went around in the early 70s and got stories about Canadian experiences during World War II. And we're going to air it on November 11th on Wednesday morning at 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and then we'll make it available as a podcast. So we've got a little preview right now of one of the stories, and I hope you like it.
daughter is in women's liberation. When I was just about her age, there was nothing like that. There'd been a lot of talk about emancipation, you know, years before, but that was women getting the vote, wasn't it? But no women's liberation. Looking back on it, we had a pretty poor time of it. That's what the war did, though. Got thousands, oh my goodness, tens of thousands of women and girls out of the home. In 1936, I came to Winnipeg from Dauphin, just out of high school. There were three things you could do. You could work as a waitress and have some fry cook pawing you. I know, I tried that for 2 weeks. You could work at Eaton's department store mail order for $11 or $12 a week and walk out of there half dead every night to a lonely room somewhere. I had friends who did that, and that was enough for me. Or you could go work for a family. Of course, that meant that you were cook, bottle washer, ran errands, washed floors, and you were the babysitter, but you know, back home in Dauphin, that's what I was doing anyway. I got in through a friend of a friend with a nice family named Gilbert, in a nice house, and I had a room in the basement, a bathroom with shower, and I got Thursday afternoons and Sunday afternoons off after the noon dinner. The pay was only $14 a month, but all in all, that wasn't bad. I was probably better off than those poor girls at Eaton's or some insurance company office because my bed and food was paid for. And that went on until 1940. In 1940, there were war plants starting up. And I went to Toronto because there was an airman stationed at Trenton that I was gaga about. But that didn't work out. But it sure got me out of Winnipeg. And I've never been back except passing through. It was good to be there when I was there. But when my girlfriend and me landed in Toronto, well, you could say we were in a different world. Toronto was a big city. And Winnipeg was just a widening of the road on the prairies. In the radio plant we both worked at, there were hundreds of women. All the bosses were men, but we expected that. Today they'd be demanding women bosses, but not then. Hundreds of women from all over Canada. I've stood at the same workbench with women who had hired girls just like me as domestics. You know, at $5 a week. And now they were complaining they couldn't get maids of their own to work 14 hours a day, cooking and washing and doing their dirty work because they'd all gone into war plants at $25 or $30 a week for a nine-hour day. Oh, you'd have thought we were all traitors. I asked one why she was working in a plant, and she said that her husband was an officer in the Air Force overseas, and she just didn't have much to do. So she was working in the plant, next to domestics like me. Funny. I guess you'd call me a stepper. That's a person who steps out. You never hear it now. Means a girl who likes a good time, likes to go out dancing and partying a lot, and not with one fellow, but with lots of fellows. Well, I sure stepped out in Toronto. I learned what this old world is all about, and I had a good time during the war, and I made good money, and because I always had dates, I saved some money after what I had spent for clothing and lipstick and stockings when I could get them. And our pay kept getting better and better. The war killed all the servant business, being a maid. And I think it did a lot to finish off the idea that a woman's place is in the home. My God, there were tens of thousands of us living a life, the kind of life that we'd never known before. Money and good times and lots of men, and more than anything, I guess you could say, freedom. Yes, I'll admit some just couldn't handle the freedom, but they were just a few. Husbands and boyfriends came back from the war and found their wives and girlfriends just weren't prepared to start washing dishes again. Must have been quite a shock. But some women had ferried Air Force bombers to Britain and others drove ambulances and worked in canteens serving the troops, or in war plants handling very expensive tools, working on equipment, planes, instrument panels and things. And the companies found they could do all this better than men. It's no lie.
Honorable W.L. Mackenzie King, Prime Minister of Canada, speaking from Ottawa.
There is no home in Canada, no family, and no individual whose fortunes and freedom are not bound up in the present struggle.
This Remembrance Day, CITR presents At Home and Overseas. More than two dozen Vancouver actors recreate the personal stories of those who experienced firsthand what life was like in Canada during the Second World War. Wednesday, November 11th, from 6:30 to 8 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM. Or look for the podcast at citr.ca.
You're gonna hang out the washing on the Siegfried line. Have you any dirty washing, mother dear? We're gonna hang out the washing on the Siegfried line, 'cause the washing day is here. Whether the weather may be wet or fine, we'll just rub along.
As one poor soul tries to find something good to enjoy on the radio.
Let's see here.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Ugh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
Well, I climbed up the mountain, climbed back down again for you. I climbed up the mountain again for you, and then I climbed back down, climbed up.
Isn't there anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance?
So Shindig is back. Our annual Battle of the Bands this year is taking place at Pat's Pub every Tuesday night down at Hastings and Dunleavy. And last week we had, it's actually started a couple of weeks ago, but last week we had three great groups and one of them just disappeared. That's weird. Okay. Funny. Huh. Funny how that works. Anyway, last week the winner was Atlanteans. There they are. Funny how that works. Just disappeared for no reason. Anyway, there they are. They won last week. Next week, we're going to hear from Dried Out, Ichuta, and Opposite Shore. So give you an idea of what to look out for next week, Tuesday night, 3rd of November, at Pat's Pub, Patricia Hotel, Hastings and Dunleavy.
up chewing dog bones. Kay taught me to feel my longing. Discovery comes first, and sorrow will only come afterwards. Solace, sorrow even worth it. It's easiest trick that the devil would catch me in. No coffee, bread, breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert. That same minute that God took me in. Look at the clock on the wall. 2:17 p.m. Tired, not tired. Another bed to lay in. Left to go. Clutter head. One more bedtime as tired limbs. Heavily guarded, the meaning of mercy approaches forgetfulness. Vengeance or remembrance. And everything that's weak in this body. I walk another street, and I know too well, I know too well. This sequence. My head is spinning, but I'd make it spin. Limbs shake me thin. Hammering hands, I know, stare me down. Intelligent in torment, and idiots in torment. What a wide, wide world to walk around. Knocks on the door, patterings of feet. Little mouse in the house. Little boy, take your knees to the ground. Little girl, don't speak too loud. Three or four chords again. I can't give you anything else. I think I thought myself up too much. I think I thought myself up to too much.
Same as any other person. This is
Oh, that's it. It just fades out like that. Who was that? That was one of the bands that's going to be at Shindig. I have to reload my page. There we go. That was Opposite Shore. And we also heard from Echuta, which is actually our interim music manager, Andy Resto, and Dried Out. And those are the three acts that will be playing at Pat's Pub Tuesday night at 9 o'clock at Hastings and Dunleavy, 403 East Hastings, two and a half blocks east of Main Street. Tuesday night, Shindig, Battle of the Bands, Jokes for Beers, $6 to get in, lots of fun. Don't miss it. There. Okay. What do we do now? Let's see here. Let's talk about what else is going on this weekend. How about that? It's Halloween, of course, the night when you get to dress up and steal candy from little kids and put on makeup and scare people and just have a great time. So there's all kinds of Halloween-themed events going on this weekend. Tomorrow night at Spectral Theater, Skinny Fat Jacks, the back alley behind 18th and Main, the fourth of their month of terror of their late night double features, triple features this week, 9 o'clock tomorrow night, not Friday. I've been saying Friday night all month, and then I found out last week it's actually on Saturday. So go on Saturday, go tomorrow night, Skinny Fat Jacks, 18th and Main, the final of Spectral Theater's late night double feature radio plays. Lots of fun there. And just up the street at 26th and Main at the Little Mountain Gallery, it's Weird Al Karaoke Halloween Edition, also starting at 9 o'clock, and there will be a dance party to follow. And then at the stroke of midnight, the Sunday Service, which is a great local comedy team, they are going to do an overdubbing of the Halloween classic It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, sort of a Mystery Science Theater 3000 approach to one of the great Halloween cartoons. Then we've got a party at Progress Lab. It's Revenge of the Hot Mess, sponsored by Rumble Theater. And that's a $10 cover with a cash bar, costume contest, and dancing the night away. They're at 1422 William Street. There's also the Geekenders Wayne Manor Halloween event going on up at Highcroft Mansion, but that's been sold out for months. They got another one that's happening next week, though, too. So check the Geekenders Facebook page for details on that. And then Evil Dead the Musical is playing tonight and tomorrow night on Granville Island at Studio 1398. That's the touring company that has played here. I think they played here once or twice before. Anyway, be prepared to have stage blood splattered on you. Not just sprayed sprayed on you. It's a mess, but go and you'll have fun. Other non-Halloween related events that are going on this weekend. We've got Smoke on the Mountain continuing for another week, I think. That's the country gospel family troupe. Well, it's a play about a family troupe of gospel singers at the Pacific Theater at 12th and Hemlock. Lots of great picking and grinning. They were here singing for us a couple of weeks ago. Western Gold Theater is doing The Dining Room at the Powell Theater in Coal Harbor. That's going on this weekend. And 20-something Theater has a really unique show called Tender Napalm. It's explosive, poetic, brutal, lots of dance and movement and physical theater, as well as a very high concept kind of story about relationships between men and women. Pay what you can on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Other shows at 8 tonight and tomorrow night at the Havana. And then at Performance Works on Granville Island, we've got Cock by Mike Bartlett. After years in a stable relationship with his boyfriend, John accidentally falls in love with a woman. Unable to choose and unwilling to label himself, John is torn between two relationships and two identities. Definitely worth checking that one out. It's called Cock, and it's playing at Performance Works on Granville Island tonight and tomorrow, with matinees on Saturday and Sunday. And then we have a dance performance at the Fire Hall. It's called Solitude's Solo, a series of solos choreographed by Daniel Levely. Five dancers exploring solitudes as virgin territory that reveals the depths of being. That's at the Fire Hall. Metro Theatre in Marple has got Fawlty Towers. This is a stage version of the classic British TV comedy from the 70s. They do three episodes, they've done it a few times before. This time around, they're doing The Hotel Inspectors, Waldorf Salad, and The Germans. So you want to check that one out. That's tonight and tomorrow night, 8 o'clock at Metro. And then at the Rio. Oh, boy, oh, boy. You want to be at the Rio for Halloween, I tell you. Tonight, it's music from Against the Current, a pop band from New York, an all-ages show. And then at midnight, it's The Exorcist. The power of Christ compels you. And then tomorrow, it's an all-day Halloween extravaganza at the Rio, starting with Attack on Titan, Parts 1 and 2, a larger-than-life intense action drama in the deadly post-apocalyptic setting, where humans fight monstrous titans for their very survival. And then three Halloween classics following that, The Shining at 6:15, The Halloween at 9:15, and From Dusk Till Dawn at 11:15. That's all going on tomorrow at the Rio all day long. And then on Sunday, it's the 17th annual animation show of shows. You want to check out Rio's website for more details on that. So if you want to know more, or you want... no, if you don't want to know more, I'm not going to tell you anymore. But if you have something that you want me to tell people about, you send it to us at DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com or like it on the Facebook page. We got some tickets to give away here. Let's see. This is an event that's happening down in Surrey on Wednesday. Let me see here. I gotta reload the. Reload the thing here. Okay, here we go. It's called Fall Back with the Nautical Miles. It's kind of a thing to celebrate the daylight savings time thing. Now, of course, it's not happening this weekend when daylight savings time is actually happening. They're going to wait until after you've sort of gotten back used to the time change. It's happening on Wednesday, which is November the 5th at the Surrey City Hall Center Stage. The group is called Nautical Miles, and we've got two tickets to give away for that. So we're going to play them, and if you want to be a part of that, give us a call. Our number is 604-822-2487, and the first person to ring us up while the song is playing gets tickets to this thing in Surrey.
Our eyes fixed on the horizon, aren't
So that's the Nautical Miles. And as I said, they're going to be performing at the Surrey City Hall Center Stage Wednesday night. And we still have two tickets to give away for that. So if you don't get in before 1 o'clock, then just leave a note on Dave Radio Podcast at hotmail.com. We make sure you get those tickets. So we got time for one more thing, and I want to make sure I get this out before we close the show. There's a special show going on tonight only. Well, it opened last night. It closes tonight at SFU School for Contemporary Arts down at the old Woodward site on Hastings Street. It's called Classica, and it's a new musical by Barbara Adler and 10,000 Wolves. And it's about a lot of different things, but it's inspired by Czech tramping, which is kind of a thing that happens in Central Europe, where they try to recreate Canadian and American Western culture, and Canadian rodeo queens, and it's something that evolved into a documentary. There's more information about it on the Facebook page. I haven't got time to give you the whole details, but it's a really cool show. And just for the music of Barbara Adler and 10,000 Wolves, when the show is over, they're going to have a big dance doing the Johnny Horton remix. So we're going to play a song from them. And once again, it's on tonight only at the SFU School for Contemporary Arts. Definitely check it out. That's our show. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. Don't forget, there's hockey tonight on CITR.ca. So at 7 o'clock, the men's Thunderbirds hockey team against Regina. And then tomorrow afternoon, we've got football, the T-Birds against the Manitoba Bisons. And you can hear that right here at 101.9 FM. And as I mentioned before, it's time to change the clock again as a spring forward, fall back. So you turn the clocks back 1 hour, 2 a.m. Sunday or Saturday night, however you want to do it. And remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs an audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we are here for you. Send your details to us at DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com, and please like us on Facebook. If you missed any or all of today's show and you want to relive glorious moments from the past, check out our podcast archives at CITR.ca, and stick around because Eleanor and Erica are here with Femme Concept. And don't forget Napkin Boy at 3:30 with Nardwar, the Human Serviette Presents. Dave Radio returns next week at this same time. Bye-bye.
Down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico, to the Gulf of Mexico. We stood by the river and we seen
As a station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
Spell on me.